When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Coming up on today's show, they said it part deux at 9. Because we have an overabundance of audio to get to this morning. But now...
Can I add a cut that is a super cut that I'm working on of people losing their minds gushing over Mac Jones into that?
Yes.
It is my magnum opus that I'm working on.
I can't wait. By the way, tomorrow on the show, Jelani Tavai at 7:15 on a Patriots Friday. And... Pudge's Pals is back tomorrow, yes. Curtis.
That is correct. Yeah. Sudbury, but what's it called in Sudbury?
Buddy Dog.
Buddy Dog. So they'll be here at 9 o'clock tomorrow.
Hoping that one of you will be willing to give a forever home to the dog that is here tomorrow.
And can I throw out a Ken Laird idea that he brought up to me on Saturday?
Yes.
Do you guys want pre-Costas to do a Pudge pick every Friday? We all pick a dog. Underdog.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Yeah. It was, I mean, like most of Ken's ideas, they're kind of meh. But, we can vote on that.
I don't know if this is going to be able to happen, but for the last 6 months, Lindsay has been trying to find Bullet's brother and sister.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday she found them.
Oh, wow.
And they are both still... Bullet came from a shelter in Georgia and was at the very end of, if he had not been adopted, he would not be here. And the brother and the sister are still with foster families.
Oh.
And so I would love to get them up here somehow and then see if we can get them on Pudge's Pals.
Oh.
So that they can so they can find a forever home. I don't have room for another.
Yeah.
Ashley from the foundation was telling me that littermates, you can't, because I was like, oh, maybe I'll just adopt, but you can't have littermates, don't do well together or something.
Really?
When they're in the same house? That's what she said to me. I don't know if that's true or not.
I would be interested to see if Bullet was able to recognize the brother and sister. Like, if it was a different reaction.
How does that happen?
Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how that
like
happens.
Like a smell? Yeah. I don't know.
All right. Anyway, Pudge's Pals tomorrow on this show. Rest of the news with Courtney now.
Well, as we prepare for Thanksgiving, I want to prepare all of you because there is a massive shortage of Bell's stuffing.
Oh, boy.
And people are losing their minds.
Yeah, this is a crisis.
Yeah, this is not good.
Number one stuffing brand.
Yep.
By far, correct?
Correct.
How are they not ready for Thanksgiving?
So the former owner of Bell's ran into some financial trouble.
Oh.
And so all production had to be halted.
Oh.
And a new owner came in, bought the brand, and was able to restart manufacturing. But they released a statement saying, "We're thrilled to have key Bell's products available again, but due to the timing of the acquisition, we regret to announce that Bell's stuffing will not be available for the 2024 holiday season."
Was that Mr. Bell who said that?
That was Dave West, one of the owners.
Okay. I mean, this is their Super Bowl.
Yeah.
How do they blow the Super Bowl like this?
I don't know how they missed that one.
It's tough.
And how is stuffing, how come it hasn't taken off?
I think it has.
What? No.
What are you talking about?
Compared to the macaroni and cheese and the mashed potatoes. Show me one restaurant you can go to where you can get stuffing.
Lincoln is actually selling it next week.
No. Not during Thanksgiving.
Right.
Just any other time of the year.
Stuffing as like a, it's a special, it's at Thanksgiving time.
That's
a good point by Wiggy.
Why hasn't it taken off like it's, you know,
and cheese is everywhere. Right. Mashed potatoes are everywhere.
Yeah, but and cheese wasn't an original Thanksgiving product.
No, but
I
don't know. If we go back to the early settling days of the Pilgrims and the original Thanksgiving, I'm going to bet you that mac and cheese and mashed potatoes and stuffing, they're like, let's say they're all in the same family. Three different brothers. Two of the brothers have taken off. The other one, for whatever reason, only really does well one day of the year.
Well, here you go, Wiggy. Thomas Jefferson brought macaroni and cheese to America after visiting France and enjoying the pasta dishes there. Mm. He served macaroni and cheese at his 1802 state dinner. Not a Thanksgiving product.
And turkey's not on every menu.
Huh?
Turkey's not on every menu.
But I know, but you could even...
Curtis, don't you love confident Chime?
It's just, it's like I have a new person next to me.
But you
it's unbelievable.
Even sweet potatoes, you can find them in other places, other pots, other
really,
times of the year.
Sweet potatoes yeah. is really strictly...
Oh, no way, Greg. Sweet potatoes are on all steakhouse menus now.
All the places. Yes. What? You can get sweet potatoes at a lot of places.
Yeah.
Stuffing is the one... You know,
if stuffing was a side at Grill 23 or at Mastro's or Capital Grill, wouldn't you get it?
Yeah.
But why don't they have it? It's a great point.
I mean, you do get, you can get a Thanksgiving sandwich year round at a lot of places. Like,
but
D'Angelo's has the Thanksgiving sub, which is great. I think it's weird when people get the Thanksgiving sub and then they add mayo to it. Like, no.
Oh, that's the best way to do it.
No.
Weird. Oh, yeah.
Well, I think the other thing, too, is that, like, a lot of people normally cook the stuffing within the bird.
Yep.
So you have to be cooking a bird in order to have the stuffing.
Right. Moon does not have sweet potatoes as a side.
Yeah.
That's one restaurant, but I guarantee you can go to, I guarantee you can find five restaurants that have sweet potatoes as a side.
Well, I was just told that every steakhouse had sweet potatoes.
Your
favorite
place, Outback, has a sweet potato.
Okay, does Golden Corral? I don't know.
Okay, but if you get a baked stuffed scrod or a baked stuffed lobster, that's the stuffing in there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But that's very popular.
But it hasn't taken off.
If you get stuffed mushrooms, which I love. Mm-hmm. That's the same stuffing in there.
But the
same thing.
But even with the stuffed mushrooms, right? Stuffed mushrooms are you gotta like search to find a place that does stuffed mushrooms.
What are you talking about?
You're supposed to be this expert when it comes to food.
I am. Like you have no idea what you're talking
about. You have
to
search for restaurants that have stuffed mushrooms on the menu as appetizers.
Wiki's right, Greg. I mean, I don't see stuffed mushrooms at restaurants that often.
Well, you should.
Well that's our point.
Right. So why isn't the stuffing?
It's the tried and true that works. I mean, it's... For years, I was begging Abe and Louie's to bring back the Clams Casino. They did.
Yeah.
And it's the number one item on the menu currently.
You should get a cut of that.
Who do you like better, Abe or Louie?
I would think it would be a big seller if Moo, Capital Grill, a lot of these restaurants.
Are you gonna order a steak with stuffing on the side? I don't think so.
I would do it. Yeah. Why not?
Yeah. People don't you love stuffing?
Stuffing's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, I just feel
it
like
it's good with like a nice pork dish.
Right. Why? That's why I asked the question. Why didn't it take off?
People make it with chicken. Like I don't. They have stovetop stuffing. People make that all year round. Like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Because you don't have it at restaurants like you have mashed potatoes and all those other things.
Right. Yeah.
It just hasn't. I just asked the question. I'm like wondering, because I love stuffing. Don't get it twisted. Why hasn't it taken off as a all year round dish side
dish? Because it's like a labor of love. Like, it's more difficult to make than like a mashed. It could be that.
Could be that.
I mean, isn't macaroni and cheese pretty difficult to make? A good one?
All right, what else?
Jersey Mike's has sold a percentage of their business for $7 billion to equity firm Blackstone. The transaction was announced on Tuesday. Private equity funds managed by Blackstone will be used to acquire the majority ownership of Jersey Mike's. The deal is, quote, intended to help enable Jersey Mike's to accelerate its expansion across and beyond the U.S. market.
That's a wild amount of money.
That's crazy. $7 billion.
You know the Jersey Mike story?
No.
Jersey Mike was 17 years old in high school and working at a sub shop, which was called Mike's Sub Shop. And the guy, the owner, said he was selling the place. Jersey Mike went to the bank at 1975, I think. Went to the bank, somehow convinced them to loan him $125,000. Then decided not to go to college, got the loan, and built Jersey Mike's into the $7 billion that he just got yesterday.
That's impressive.
Blackstone. Isn't that? That's an American success story right there.
Wow.
That's a lot of subs.
Think about how much they could have sold it for if they had stuffing.
Well, you would have to order stuffing Mike's way.
I have to tell you, Jersey Mike's, I was so mad. I went and grabbed a Chick-fil-A last night with the James man. But there was a Jersey Mike's right up the road. Yeah. I would have gone there. Jersey Mike's is so good.
Yeah. It really is. It's fantastic.
They do. Their bread is so soft.
Oh.
All right, we're going to have to take another break.
Oh, okay.
We will get to the rest of the news coming up. But right now, Courtney, and what is trending this hour?
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Congratulations to former Red Sox player Chris Sale, who won the National League Cy Young Award last night. 35-year-old is the first Braves player to win the award since 1998. The Bruins are back in action tonight, this time under a new head coach in Joe Sacco. They have Utah at the TD Garden. Puck drop is at 7. And Thursday Night Football has the Steelers at the Browns. Kickoff at 8:15. You can listen to that right here on WEEI. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. It is currently, 37 degrees. By the way, James' first trip to Chick-fil-A, 2 thumbs up.
Did he love it?
Loved it. Got the nuggets.
Yeah.
So good. And the people there are so nice.
Yeah. Did you get any of the sweet tea?
No, I just.
Wiggy loves sweet tea, yeah. And they do a great job with their sweet tea over there. They also have the banana cream milkshake, which you should have got for James.
All right. Well, we were already revved up enough. I don't think a milkshake at that hour would have been beneficial. But
James did a good job bowling last night. I got to tell you, Curtis, you may have an athlete on your hands there.
He told me he was adopted, which was hurtful.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I just have to get you. We have a fires going on, Greg, so yes. Serious stuff. So we got some rain coming. Starting around 10 a.m., it's going to be in the 40s the rest of today, but hopefully about an inch to an inch and a half of rain in the Boston area.
And huge thanks to everybody who came out again for the third annual 24 Lanes event with Ty Law last night at Apex in Marlboro. Thanks to Apex for hosting us every year. Thanks to Ty for running around and working the swear jar, raising an additional nearly $1,500, and I think we'll be well over last year's amount raised, which was $21,000. Ty had a goal of getting to $30,000, and I think we will. So we had a great time last night. Wiggy, Ty, Curtis, and those of you who are there, we really appreciate it. We will be right back. Coming up tomorrow, it is a Patriots Friday, and Jelani Tavai on the show at 7:15 tomorrow, and the Pudge's Pals at 9 on tomorrow's show. We are going to get back to the rest of the news a little bit late this morning in a minute. This is Laura. Laura, good morning.
Good morning. So we need to talk about this stuffing thing. First of all, Greg, there's a huge difference between stuffing and seafood stuffing. Not even remotely the same. Secondly, Wiggy, if you're looking for stuffing, go to the Wayside Inn in Sudbury.
Oh,
that's all I have to say.
Great
and
spot.
As everyone knows, my mother made the best turkey stuffing in the world.
Yeah.
And so I'll be making it this coming weekend. To get ready for the bird. And no one ever died by stuffing a bird with turkey. With stuffing.
I don't know.
A bird with turkey.
People suggest all the time, Courtney has great anxiety about the stuffing being in the rectum of the turkey. Mm-hmm. It's simple.
It's simple. You take a cold bird and you stuff it with cold stuffing.
Okay.
You never put cold stuffing in a warm bird or warm stuffing in a cold bird. It's equal.
Yeah.
It's simple. I do it all the time. I've been doing it for a bazillion years. I'm fine. Nobody in my family's ever died from this.
Okay.
So it all cooks
really
together.
Greg.
All right, Laura, thank you.
Yes, it all cooks together.
Okay. I blame Wiggy for this. For this whole entire discussion.
I asked the question because I love stuffing. And I didn't do it. So do a lot of people do the stuffing in the bird?
That's how my grandmother did
it.
Okay. Yeah.
Because my wife, she kind of does it like on its own separate, like in its own little separate.
We do two different ones, one in the bird and then one out of the bird with sausage.
I just asked the question
Sausage stuffing. It's delightful. Got a bit of a kick to it.
Oh.
And also, I love the fact that we have new listeners. There was a text during the break about none of us calling out Courtney for saying that she loves mashed potatoes in the box.
Yeah.
That was a whole entire three years ago, whole entire controversy on this program because you were making mashed potato dish that requires the boxed mashed potatoes.
Yes.
And it actually was
really good.
We were all over you, and it was really good.
Yeah.
And it was
phenomenal.
You blew shime out of the water.
If anybody's looking for the recipe, it is on a highlight on my Instagram.
Yep.
I can give back to the people.
This is Gene from Rhode Island. Good morning, Gene.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
What's up?
I'm calling to answer Wiggy's question.
Yes.
Why isn't there stuffing at all the restaurants or most restaurants? Wiggy, mm-hmm. I have to tell you, it's similar to the pumpkin spice coffee at Dunkin' Donuts.
Mm-hmm.
They only have it right around Halloween, okay? But you can buy it year-round. Same thing with stuffing. That's your answer.
Well, I know you could get, like, stuffing.
Coffee. I love the Rhode Island accent.
I know.
It's a mix between Boston and New York.
It really is. Yeah.
I know you can get, like,
coffee talk.
The stovetop stuffing. I get that. I'm just saying, why isn't as big in, like, restaurants mm-hmm. as a side? You know, you go to a restaurant and then it's like, here's your size. You know, Curtis brought up au gratin potatoes.
Right.
You know, garlic mashed potatoes, mac and cheese,
French fries,
your sweet potatoes, loaded sweet potato, loaded sweet potato. Why isn't there a stuffing? That's all I asked
right.
because we all love it.
Yeah. Another great question when it comes to Thanksgiving traditions on the Subaru of New England text line. Will subservient Courtney be preparing a plate for her man this
yes,
Thanksgiving?
I will. We are actually preparing all the food this year. We are no longer going to London. Some family stuff came up. So Santo and I are cooking.
Well. So you're going to continue the tradition of your husband just sitting there
yep.
while you march up and prepare an entire plate for him.
Good year job. Number two.
This is the second year you've done
yep.
it, right?
Yeah.
I introduced you to that
you
last
did.
Year.
You wow. did. And good. You know what? It went a long way.
I know it does.
And Greg, I hate to give you credit because yeah. God knows you don't get enough.
Yeah.
But you mentioned the other day about a storm coming. On the yeah. Thursday, Friday of next week?
Yes.
My latest modeling shows on the 29th of November in Boston, 3 to 5 inches of snow.
It does? That's
Shime, what does that say?
That's the nor'easter.
That says 3 to 5 inches.
That's the nor'easter that's coming up the East Coast.
So.
As I am foolishly attempting to drive 7 hours to the Jersey Shore.
Oh, wow. That you're ahead of the curve.
That baby might get in the way of the whole entire thing to if there's a massive storm trying to drive down,
you gotta fly.
Like,
you have
probably
to.
Can't, I won't be able to fly either.
All right.
I mean, you can't fly in a nor'easter.
Acela?
I could Acela. Maybe take the Acela.
Greg hasn't been on a train since Nixon was in office.
Oh, I took the train down when I was granted with the Marconi Award, right. Curtis.
Oh, that's right.
Train to New York.
Any way to bring up the Marconi?
Did they put you in first class at least?
I think we were on the. Is there first class on a train?
Oh,
Greg just points. Craig just points and says, "Silent, quiet car."
I like to be close to the club car,
yeah.
right?
The restaurant car on the train.
Yeah, that's the best.
I enjoy the train.
Me too.
The Excelodome.
Yes.
One time, Jen and I took the kids on the sleeping train. To Florida. Have you ever done that?
No. What is that? What's the sleeping train?
You sleep overnight on the train.
Oh.
Do they have like a restaurant for you to?
They do.
Wow.
And it's.
Do they play Dale?
It's awesome.
All right.
It's so great to go to sleep while you're rolling down the rails, rolling across America, this great country, Curtis. It's really. I'm telling you, you might think I'm some kind of an elderly person, but I'm telling you.
No, the train ride is a good one, especially if you go through some nice
it's
areas.
It's nice. You wake up in the night, you're rolling through some middle American town and
right.
giving the people the the what's up as you're rolling through town.
The what's popping
on the what's popping on the train?
That's on my bucket list is the Switzerland train ride.
Oh, Switzerland is gorgeous.
You know, or the one wherever it goes through the mountains.
Oh, like the Alaska train.
Well, yeah,
far away from Switzerland.
Whatever the ones that you see and you're going through, and it's like the beautiful mountains and there's snow everywhere, but they have these cool. You're right.
Yeah.
Now they have ones that have like almost panoramic roof.
That's the Orient Express, I think they just brought back.
Where brought back where?
Over in Europe.
Okay.
Like it's really like a yeah. bougie train.
Oh yeah, that's what I'd like to.
There was a person who covered the Bruins who really liked the train.
Oh,
If I remember.
I don't know.
If I remember correctly.
All right.
I don't know.
Wasn't
there? I have no idea.
Wasn't there?
I mean, have you ever been on a train ride? I mean, it is a very, very good thing.
Anyway,
Greg, can we just quickly go away from that? My favorite moment of the Twitch history, Clapback 33. Curtis is a weather plagiarist. This is not his modeling.
Well, you were passing off the weather modeling as your own, Curtis, which is a real problem in meteorology circles.
Oh, my Lord.
All right. Anyway, well, what's next news-wise?
Well, a case of food rage in Virginia. 45-year-old Catherine Harper and her husband, Corey, ordered food from Maud Pizza. Ordered a pie.
Okay.
Catherine went in to get the food. When she arrived, she realized the toppings were wrong. She called it a botched order, got into a heated verbal argument with the 24-year-old employee. Things weren't going her way, so she called her husband, Corey, and said, come in here and handle it. He came in. Stabbed the employee multiple times so badly that the employee's intestines were showing when police arrived.
Oh, my God. Over the wrong toppings?
Yep.
Oh. I mean, I get it's frustrating. There's nothing worse than getting something home that you ordered and it's the wrong topping.
Especially
on pizza,
man. I said that toppings is the most important thing when it comes to a pizza.
Yeah. Shine, what was the topping that you said would be most upsetting to you?
Pineapple.
Pineapple? Mm. Yeah.
I would have knife rage if it was pineapple because it makes the pizza inedible.
How just do you take
feel,
them off.
How do you feel about anchovies? My old man Barry Hill was an anchovies on a pizza guy.
I've never actually tried one, so I can't say disgusting.
Disgusting.
But it's an old person thing.
Yeah, that's like back in the day. Yeah.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
It is so important for your toppings, you know, because it if you don't have the right toppings, I mean, I probably wouldn't take the knife rage, but then again, who knows? You're caught in the heat of the moment. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm a mushroom and onion type of fella.
Wait, what is this with the Twitch chat? Everybody like saying that pineapple on pizza is good?
Yeah.
Are we in unison here that pineapple on pizza is disgusting?
Oh, I don't think it's bad.
I wouldn't eat it.
No, I would never order it.
Adds a little bit of sweet. Yeah, I wouldn't order it, but it has a little sweetness.
Yeah, I'm not like the stuff that's being done to pizza. Like you love the hot honey.
Oh,
hot honey.
That's not.
So
it's
good.
It's not
hot honey and pepperoni. Whew.
Yeah, no, really good.
It's not supposed to. Pizza's not supposed to be sweet.
Yeah,
but they are tricking it out.
Hot
though.
Hot honey's not sweet. It's hot.
That fig pizza.
Honey is sweet.
It's a sweet hot.
It's a sweet.
That fig pizza that they have at 110 Grill.
Yeah,
you like that?
That thing is good.
That's sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so it's kind of like. I didn't think like that maybe, but there are some now where like they're getting creative with some of the toppings.
Yeah,
and you're like, that ain't bad.
I noticed you sampled a little bit of the pizza last night.
Yeah, they had some good pizza over there. I went for the, I couldn't tell you what it was, but it was a unique toppings on it.
They have good food there. They have good mac and cheese at Apex.
Yeah, they had a couple different mac and cheese.
They did the bar.
Options.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
you could have told us what it was if you chewed it.
No, they were too small.
It was really
when they're that small, it's kind of like, it's like Bob pizza. It's like one bite and it's gone. They're like pizza rolls at that time.
This next story, important food news for Shime. McDonald's selling limited edition half-gallon jugs of the McRib sauce for the holidays next week. Yeah, it starts Monday, November 25th. They'll be selling a whole lot of McRib sauce for $19.99. You got to do it online. It's wholelotofmcribsauce.com, and it'll be available as supplies last.
I got to be honest.
You love the McRib, am I right, Wiggy?
No, I'm not a McRib guy.
Oh, I thought you loved it.
No, boneless spare rib.
No, I also am not a huge fan.
Really?
Yeah.
Why do people clamor to have it brought back?
I don't know.
It is coming back in December. Yeah. Yep.
But I don't know why people.
It's like I told you, it's the McRib and the Filet-O-Fish. People, for whatever, I've had a McRib before, you know, it is what it is in a pinch. But people, when that thing comes back, people order it the same way people love the Filet-O-Fish. I don't get it. But they do.
Yeah.
And we're going to end with AMC Theaters. They're warning people not to sing along to the Wicked movie that premieres tomorrow. Okay. This is
like your
Super Bowl. Yeah. 2 p.m. showing tomorrow.
I don't under. It was a book.
Yep, and then on Broadway, and it has probably one of the most popular soundtracks that go along with the play, and so people know a lot of the songs, every word for word.
Right.
And so viewers, myself included, are worried about going for the premiere and having it ruined by other people singing loudly along with the music. So AMC Theater actually has...
Wait, they're going to throw people out if they're singing along with the movie?
Yeah.
Good, they should.
Right.
They should?
Yeah, don't. If you're going to a movie theater, do not speak. Yeah, silence.
I'm watching that one.
Yeah. I mean, Alamo...
Yo, you don't like when an elderly man has to explain to his elderly wife what just happened in a
no,
movie?
Yeah, I can't stand
it. I hate it.
You don't like that?
Oh,
I
God.
Hate it.
What? Charlie, what happened
Where
there?
Who is she? What is she doing?
What is this guy doing jumping off the building, flying around like a bird?
Is that his girlfriend?
Oh, it's the worst.
Well, I don't...
Alamo kicks you out if you're texting. If you're texting during a movie, you get one warning, and then they kick you out.
I think that's probably right. Most people probably agree with that.
Same, I do.
Well, the phone light is distracting when somebody's using their phone.
Yeah. Oh, see, that I don't care about.
Take it down really, really low, your brightness. Take it down low. Don't be text if you need to, but hold it down. Keep it to yourself.
But they're having AMC Theaters, when you go to see the movie, before it plays, they have a screen that says, at AMC Theaters, silence is golden. It's 30 seconds. It's an advisory. It has, like, scenes from the movies. No talking, no texting, no singing, no wailing, no flirting, and absolutely no name calling. Enjoy the magic of the movies. To help this, they are going to release sing-along viewings of this movie on
Christmas Day. Rather die.
I know. Is Santo going with you?
No, it is.
Okay.
Because he would have to sing along.
It will not be the number one film this weekend. You know what will be?
It will be Gladiator.
It will not be Gladiator 2. It will not.
It
get
will.
Out of here. Wow.
It will.
Somewhere.
It will not.
I have an idea. I have a good show bit here.
Yeah.
You guys do a friendly wager. Whoever wins gets to tell the other what to prepare for Wednesday.
Okay. Perfect.
Gladiator 2 will win the box office.
Gladiator 2 is going to be good.
No way.
I'm a huge Wizard of Oz fan, and I like the Wiz.
You're going to like this.
I don't know how I feel about. So, am I going to get the, you know, Over the Rainbow song in this? I'm not going to get the Judy Garland song.
It's a different movie.
So this is the movie, basically, of the two witches when they were younger before they became enemies.
They go to Shiz University and the two of
Shiz.
And the two of them are enemies turned friends, and then you find out how Elphaba becomes evil.
Oh,
there's no way that Denzel Washington in Gladiator 2 does not win the box office.
Oh, that's
absolutely
be...
no way.
You're going to be stunned on Monday.
Wait, really?
Yes.
We'll know Saturday.
Well, you know why? Because Gladiator 2, rated R, The Wiz is a teeny bopper movie,
it's
PG-13.
It's called Wicked. Yeah.
Wicked, okay, sorry. It's a teeny bopper movie, so you're going to get a ton of kids.
Good point,
they don't go to the movies.
No, but the parents, older people don't go to the movies no more. Oh, like people our age, don't go.
Nobody really goes to the movies anymore.
The youngins do.
Courtney and Santo do. You love going to the movies.
We try to go at least once
but
a week.
You love a movie date.
Yes, yeah.
But you're the youngins.
Thank you.
What was the issue that
Greg, you might already be wrong.
What?
Wicked heads for dazzling $100 million debut. Gladiator aims for $65 million.
That's
embarrassing.
Because you might double up.
Because the people that are Greg's age.
Coming up, Courtney.
My age. Curtis's age. They don't go to the movies as much anymore. But the teeny boppers
my
are
age,
still
we
going.
Love the talkies. Like, when they introduced the talkies, we were all in on movies.
Yeah.
What was the thing that you and Mega were talking about yesterday with the actress?
Oh, Ariana Grande and Cynthia Erivo. I mean, they've gotten very thin. And so a lot of people are discussing that because it's concerning for
sickly.
A lot of people. They look very thin. And Ariana, I mean, they've always, both of them have been fit, thin. But it's gotten to a different place. For Ariana, I mean, she looks much paler. She's not doing, like, spray tans or different makeup. She's blonde, too, a little bit. So it could be that. The features are changing because she's using different makeup and stuff. But they look
crackheadishly skinny.
Because Mega was saying she was obsessed with it. Like, she has a concern for her.
Yeah.
Both of them.
For both of the
actors. Yeah, because they look crackheads.
And they're both
skinny.
The stars of the movie?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's them right there.
And honestly, that's actually a good photo. Like, they look much thinner than that.
Right.
Really?
The bones are coming out of their shoulders. You know, like when you're really skinny, you could see like all the chest bones and the shoulder bones.
They've been filming this for a long time, and this is only this is part one of the movie. Part two won't be out for like another year.
Oh, so there's a sequel to this with them.
Well,
both.
It's the play where they're ending the movie is like the intermission of the Broadway play.
All right, Courtney, thank you.
Thank you.
That's the news. Coming up at 9, They Said It, Part 2. Gerard Mayo yesterday on the second matchup of the season for the New England Patriots and the Miami Dolphins. And every time I get optimistic, Wiggy pours a giant bucket of cold water on it. I mean, you were in this game earlier in the season.
Mm-hmm.
With this Dolphins team, but
no
that,
Tua.
But that was
they didn't have Tua.
No Tua, and at home. Yeah. You brought up a great point with Gerard that this is historically a really tough place for Patriots players to play.
Right. Yeah.
So,
I mean, do you have any confidence in the defense at all? Which is
not really. Like, I don't have any confidence in the in this team. But then again, I don't have any confidence in Miami. And I know Miami's, you know, they've won their last two games, I believe. But when you look at just the way that this kind of Miami team is, they're really not the same team. They don't scare you. So could the Patriots win this game? Yeah, this is very similar to last week. Patriots could win this game. This game could be close and the Patriots could lose, but the Patriots could also get blown out. You know, I don't really have the confidence. The only thing I have confidence in is that Drake May will play good and he'll make strides.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the only thing I have confidence in is that Drake May will turn the ball over at the end of the game.
No, he'll probably turn.
Hope not.
Well, Greg, it's interesting you say that because Orlovsky has an interesting stat on Drake May.
Yes.
Of all the quarterbacks qualified, he is the only one who has an off-target percentage less than 10% in the entire NFL. He has two misses on 64 throws in his last two games.
Could you argue when he hits these receivers' hands it's off-target because they can't catch?
Fair point.
Could be true.
I mean, honestly, if half of the drops are caught, he is discussed far differently nationally. And they are so egregious. These aren't like, you know, there's Wiggy, the old saying, if it hits your fingers, you should catch it. Like, that's not always true. The drops these guys have been in a just pathetic attempts. How many times do you say, oh, he dropped it? Like, wide open, hits the hands, and the guy just has no answer.
I think he's dragged more for the turnovers when it comes to picks and fumbles and
you're right.
You know, the averaging to a game, and I think that's like, you know, Jones has a real issue with that.
Right, but look at some of the innocent, like, look at the sack fumble. I don't necessarily put that on him because he's getting smoke from the blind side. Yeah, I know everybody's going to say, well, you got to protect the football. I get it. But it's not like it's a legit fumble where he's running around, he's loose with the football, he's scampering for 7-8 yards, somebody hits him, and boom, knocks the ball out. It's more of one of those things where, okay, those generally blindside hits, like, all right, if the quarterback, you got to do a better job, but I don't necessarily put that on him. The interception, depending on how the interception goes, like the one in the game, all right, maybe you and Pop Douglas weren't on the same page, but it's still a little bit high of a thrown ball. Maybe bring it down a little bit. I put that more on him than I do Pop because you got to be able to put that in a position where, you know, it doesn't get intercepted.
But he's going to learn from those.
Yeah. And I'm cool with the interception.
Yeah.
And if you redrafted it today, he'd be the first pick in the draft with every pick, with every play.
Yeah, and I'm cool with the interceptions. Yeah, are you not cool? I mean, I know we're not supposed to be cool with them, but do you look at him and go, all right, he's a rookie quarterback. He's going to have some picks. But he doesn't have the Zach Wilson 4-5 pick game where you're like, ooh.
Well, compare it with Mac Jones, because that was the issue that you and Shime and others had with Mac Jones.
Yes.
was that he was throwing the ball to the other team at inopportune times.
Right. But he was it where it's like the interception that Mac Jones threw against the, I think it was the Colts last year. It's like you literally threw it to the linebacker. You know, it's like you got
the one in the Dallas game where he throws across the field the first time. You're like, hey, don't do that. And then the very next drive he does it again and it's picked and taken for six.
And he did it in the Miami game. I think it was, Jalen Ramsey. Where's he playing now?
Miami. He's in Miami now.
Was he in Miami last year?
Yes.
Yeah. Remember, he rolls out. He might have rolled out and then tried to
airmailed it over Hunter
Henry? And then try to throw it across it, and then it was picked off by Jim. Those are the interceptions. You're like, these are just bad, bad. Don't make those decisions. Where I don't think we've necessarily seen that this year with Drake May.
And we're like, no, I don't think the bigger concern for me is the defense. And Jerod Mayo skates on it a little bit because that should be his forte.
Yeah, but it's not when you come to, you start to look and you go, okay.
What do you mean it's not?
Like, well, when you're looking at this year, it's not his forte.
No, I know.
Whatever the game plan defensively, they're too inconsistent. I put that on Jerod Mayo. Like, why is your, and we asked him, why is your defense so inconsistent? And it's like, against Chicago, you go out there, you got sacks, you're all over the place.
But that's a horrible Chicago Bears team. Like,
I'm not saying they're a great team, but the Rams are not like this great team either.
I just would ask, he's thrown interceptions. Yes, he has fumbled the ball when he's been sacked. Does anybody think the offensive line is good?
No.
I think they've been better the last 2 weeks.
I agree with you on that. They've been better, but, you know, they're not lighting the world.
Does anybody think they're good?
They're not great.
Yeah.
They're they're not good.
So the offensive line stinks. The receivers are the worst in the NFL.
Yeah.
And he has thrown 9 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, and he has had 2 close comebacks without going all the way there. If they go for 2 in Tennessee, we don't even have an interception in the overtime, and they win that game.
And a couple of those interceptions, which I think they should change the rule on this. I don't know if, Shime, you maybe brought this up. Or so I heard somebody bring this up. A tip ball that is like the interception where he was throwing a screen, it got tipped, and one of the linebackers.
Against the Texans.
Yeah. Like, sometimes those interceptions shouldn't count against the quarterback or a receiver who bobbles a ball and it's his hand and goes up in the air. They should. So if you look at his 6 interceptions, how many of those would you really say, okay, those were on him?
Probably 3 or 4.
So 3 or 4. That's not bad for a rookie. The only thing I will say, Greg, is the only thing that I look at and I could say I count on this team is the player Drake May. He's the one consistent. Would you agree or disagree that
I would agree with you. I would agree with you.
Right. So he's the one bright spot where everywhere else I'm like, I don't know if the defense is going to show up. I don't know if they're going to run the ball good. The receivers, I feel like they're going to struggle. But I feel like Drake May is going to perform well enough to keep them in the game.
No, I think if you miss Bill, Curtis, forgive me, the other side of the football is where you miss him the most.
Yeah. Yes. His game plan. That I agree with.
Because a big thing with Bill last season was that he didn't care about the quarterback position and stepped away from it. He didn't help out at all. And that's what ended up ruining Mac and the fact that they couldn't even speak on the sideline. So Bill was able to keep, you know, the defense playing at a certain level that it seems like Jerod Mayo has lost.
Yeah, but I do think you look at Burrow, you look at Josh Allen, you look at, Aaron Rodgers. You go up and down the list of the quarterbacks they faced. Last year, they faced Tommy Cutlets. They faced Sam Ellinger. They faced Howell with the Washington Commanders. They faced the guy who is like Skylar Diggins with the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah.
It was a much different opponent list. And I don't think that Jerod Mayo is a better defensive coach than Bill Belichick. I'm not saying that. But there was dysfunction all over the place last year, and it was not Bill Belichick was not blameless in that.
No, he wasn't. And I do give Jerod some leeway because when you're comparing Jerod Mayo's game plans and how he's game planning the defense versus Bill Belichick, that's so unfair. That's like, us trying to compare Mac Jones to Tom Brady.
Well, I mean, but you fired one guy with the expectation that the other guy was going to be better.
No.
Bill Belichick?
You fired Bill with the expectation that Gerard Mayo was going to be a better head coach.
Eventually,
right?
Eventually, this year.
Yeah, okay. and you didn't fire Bill and go, Gerard's going to be a better defensive coordinator, defensive-minded game planner of coming up with a scheme.
That's absolutely what I would expect.
That's the
side of the football that I would think he knows.
He does know.
Like, if I were Robert Kraft, that's what I would absolutely expect, that at least the defense is going to be consistent with what it was last season. It's not anywhere near that.
Well, you would be very naive to believe that. You're talking about the greatest defensive coordinator, defensive mind ever, and you think in the first year after making the change?
Okay, so how long are you giving him then? Because I love this argument. How long are you giving Gerard Mayo until he can get the defense the way he wants the defense to be?
Well, Bill was a head coach for 7 years before he won.
Well, and every time you ask Gerard Mayo, it does come back to injuries. So he does have that on his side. But I don't think fans thought that there was going to be this much of a drop-off from Bill to Gerard when it came to the defense.
See, the problem, and this is where I think fans, you know, the fan is thinking, because Mayo played for Bill, because Mayo coached with
Bill,
now we're getting the same type of game plan defensively that we got from Bill. No, that's the misconception that a lot of fans don't understand. Bill was one of the greatest when it came to scheming up a defense. Gerard is basically, this is his first go at it by himself and having to do it on his own, where he is the guy. You think about how many times last year where Bill probably stepped into the defensive meeting or was in there with the coaches, the defensive coaches, saying, all right, here's what we need to do. We need to do this. We need to do that. Gerard has to do that now on his own. So the fact that we're comparing him as a defensive game planner versus Bill Belichick is just, That's just.
Well, it's Pat's Dolphins on Sunday, and you can talk about it all day long here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. What Charlie McAvoy said yesterday after Don Sweeney and Joe Sacco spoke, coming up next, among other things, and They Said It Part 2.